This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
What is going on, everybody? Friends, family, listeners, followers, wherever you may be, we're back with another illustrious edition of the people's favorite fight podcast, the Championship Rounds. Another fight weekend gone by. A weekend of absolute insanity. First off, how are you all doing? How's everybody doing? Hope you guys are fully acclimated to daylight savings time by now. Hope none of you are getting sick. Also hope you're getting used to the weather change and all that. Well, for those tuning into the Championship Rounds for the very first time, this is a combat sports podcast once again, focused primarily on the sport of boxing and mixed martial arts, where I give you up-to-date fight analysis, predictions, thoughts, opinions, and so much more. That means if you like what you hear, please feel free to follow me on Spotify, which will lead to alerts for new and upcoming episodes. If you're an Apple user, I am available on the Apple Podcasts app, so hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any episodes. Real quick, wanted to share with you a brand new podcast that I do outside of the Championship Rounds with my lovely, beautiful fiance, Jamie, called A Love Like This Podcast, where Jamie and I deeply discuss life, love, parenting, and everything else in between. So to any couples out there who want to know what it's like in the shoes of 20-somethings navigating their way through the world of parenthood, be sure to stop by and listen. We're also available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. Well, that's enough of plugs. I feel all I'm doing right now is giving myself free press. Anyways, fights. That's what we're here for, right? Let's dive right in, shall we? Recent news in the world of MMA to kick off episode 17. I can't believe I've done 17 of these damn things already. Wow. Well, episode 17, here it is. Recent news. Let's start off with Floyd Mayweather pulling out of the proposed bout with Ryzen, citing a miscommunication. So in the last episode of the Championship Rounds, I did break to you guys that Floyd Mayweather had a deal in place with Ryzen to fight kickboxing sensation Tenshin Nasukawa. Unfortunately, well, depends on how optimistic you are and in this fight happening, or if you wanted to see this fight happening, or if you absolutely didn't want to see this fight. It's off now. The fight's not happening. Citing a miscommunication stating they were quote-unquote completely derailed by the fight announcement. So Floyd takes to Instagram and posts a lengthy statement talking about said miscommunication, saying he never agreed to the fight in the first place with Nasukawa. And apparently, you know, it was said that the fight was attempted to be organized for the sole purpose of entertaining wealthy investors in hopes of getting paid a large sum of money that, unfortunately, for gossip's sake, was not disclosed or announced. Are your listeners disappointed? Are you happy? Personally, I'm indifferent. Why did Floyd even agree to partake in something as little as a press conference? To troll us or to waste our time? What exactly is the reason? Did he think that he was going to fight an exhibition without showing the deserving general public any live coverage of the proceedings? Get out of here with that, Floyd. Get out of here with that. What were we supposed to think exactly? That we're just going to let him get away with this? We lost sleep in regards to the situation. This is where you cue in the "I'm not surprised, motherfuckers" Nate Diaz gif for comedic effect. Let's move on, everybody. We're done talking about Floyd and Ryzen. What else we got? TJ Dillashaw fighting Henry Cejudo for the UFC flyweight title is apparently set for the UFC 233 card, which will be in January, live from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. Dillashaw is looking to make history and become the sixth person in UFC history to become a two-division champion, joining the likes of Conor McGregor, Daniel Cormier, Randy Couture, BJ Penn, George St. Pierre. Those are the guys who have become two-division champions within the organization. Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson versus TJ Dillashaw was long rumored to be made. So before Cejudo was going to fight Johnson, we were talking about the super fight between Mighty Mouse and TJ Dillashaw. So that was the rumor for the past year and a half until Cejudo dethroned Johnson to win the flyweight title. But now that's reached the depths of matchmaking purgatory. Once again, due to Cejudo beating Johnson and Johnson making the move to ONE Championship. So at this time, more rumors flying around in regards to this fight. You know, we don't know if TJ Dillashaw is there to actually retire the 125-pound division. It's unclear whether or not it's going to fold. Dana hasn't formally announced anything. I might have missed something. Maybe he has. But we don't know if this is going to be the last fight for flyweight, because TJ is going to come down to fight for the flyweight title. And in doing so, could possibly end that division and make it history. We shall see. So, it's rumored to shut its doors after being, what, flyweight's been around for the last 6-7 years in its existence? Because it kind of started off with a mini tournament. It was Johnson, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson versus Ian McCall. And it was Joseph Benavidez on the other side of the bracket. I forgot who he was fighting. He was fighting, I want to say John Dodson? Not too sure. It might have been John Dodson. And the winner of that tournament would have become the, it would have became the first flyweight champion in UFC history. But it's not really a surprise that 125 is going to close its doors, especially since flyweight wasn't necessarily the cash cow for the UFC, and why some of us don't consider Mighty Mouse to be the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, because of the inability to draw money. But this will all come to a head on January 26th, live from, once again, the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. A UFC fight night took place last Saturday, with two notable fights taking place. The co-main event being Donald Cowboy Cerrone facing Platinum Mike Perry. Cerrone winning via submission. I think he broke Perry's arm. Oh, no. An MRI came back, or x-ray came back, showing that Perry actually didn't break his arm. It seemed like it did, but it looked like he didn't. So he faced Platinum Mike Perry and won via submission, locking him in an armbar. And it looks like Cerrone's going back down to 155. He's returning to lightweight in a move that, you know, they could work out with Conor out of the picture. He could move up, or not move down a weight class and shoot right up to a title fight after defeating maybe one guy. Or he could go straight to fighting Conor at 155. That'll be an intriguing matchup. Cowboy Cerrone versus Conor McGregor. Imagine that. So he goes down to lightweight, hopefully meeting up with the likes of Khabib Nurmagomedov or Tony Ferguson. So that remains to be seen. In the main event, El Pantera, Yair Rodriguez, fought his way to a spectacular last-second buzzer-beater knockout at the end of the fifth round. Say that 10 times fast. To defeat Korean zombie Chan Sung Jung and advance in the UFC lightweight rankings after much inactivity. Or is that featherweight? Is that lightweight or featherweight? I want to say featherweight. But yeah, the knockout itself, incredible. Took place at 4 minutes 59 seconds of the last round. It was an upwards reverse ducking elbow that flatlined Korean Zombie at an instant. Thus, pulling off one of the greatest KOs in UFC history and being awarded Fight of the Night and Performance of the Night honors. So, if we're talking knockouts, where exactly does that rank? Does it rank top 5 in your book? Where does it rank for the year? Definitely, maybe in the top 3. If we're talking about knockouts here, name one knockout that was more spectacular, more devastating than Yair Rodriguez's elbow. That upwards reverse elbow. Name one. Gaston Bolanos from Bellator might be in that mix. What other knockouts are there? That That Bellator has a couple. It was just beautifully timed, considering the situation, losing the entire fight. I mean, Korean Zombie was just, he was looking great on the counter, was able to move Yared Rodriguez back. He was able to make him retreat. He just looked great. Looked great in the stand-up department. And it looked like, you know, you could have made the case for Rodriguez winning maybe one round or so. But out of all those rounds, you know, I kind of had it a shutout until that knockout took place. You know, I think Korean Zombie definitely would have gotten the nod in the decision if it wasn't for that last second elbow. You know, that's just what it is. So all-time knockouts, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But what I can tell you is that knockout definitely wins knockout of the year. No ifs, ands, and buts about it, considering the situation once again. You know, losing the fight could make an argument for the fight being a shutout. Against the guy, you know, if we were to talk about the greatest comeback in history, there's so many comebacks as well, but that goes up there with comeback of the year. If we were to compare that to Derek Lewis knocking out Alexander Volkov in the third round, that's up there with it. You might edge out Derek Lewis against Alexander Volkov as the comeback of the year because we virtually didn't see Derek Lewis in that fight at all. He looked gassed by round one, and then next thing you know, he had that knockout with the last, you know, another last second knockout. Same here with Yared Rodriguez, but the thing is with Yared Rodriguez is he still looked fresh. You know, he was moving around the ring, trying to, you know, he still looked like he was in the fight compared to Derek Lewis. So you can make the case for comeback of the year. Let's move on to some boxing. Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence is now official for March 16th. That's going to be on pay-per-view. Pacquiao is official for Adrian Broner on January 19th. Spence Garcia live from Fox pay-per-view, and Pacquiao Broner from Showtime pay-per-view. So look out for future episodes of the Championship Rounds as I discuss both fights. Alexander Usyk knocked out Manchester's own Tony Bellew, which was Bellew's swan song from the sport of boxing. Bellew came in looking very game, trying to disrupt Usyk's rhythm with heavy movement, mixing in his punches from awkward angles. But at the end, it just wasn't enough. For a strong and powerful cruiserweight from the Ukraine, like Usyk, he earned the late KO, which was predicted by yours truly just in last week's episode. I just thought that Bellew could have thrown everything, including the kitchen sink, at Usyk, and it would have been enough. I just think that Usyk's, he has underrated athleticism, and his reflexes are, he's really quick, leading to him having really effective combinations and counter punches. I think that he was just very, very patient. I think he let Bellew land whatever combinations, whatever awkward angles that he had in his arsenal, and was just biding his time until that eighth round knockout. So Usyk's very cerebral as well, and that's one underrated aspect of his game. Usyk will be looking into maybe stepping up and fighting big names in heavyweight to solidify his name on the pound-for-pound list, or does he stay at cruiserweight? We'll see. And to Tony Bellew, congratulations on an amazing career with a resume most fighters can only dream of. A world champion who not once backed away from a challenge, took on all comers, and even came back, became a movie star in the process, which is a perfect transition to today's main topic, which is Creed 2. We're talking Creed 2 today. That is the main topic of discussion for this episode, episode 17 of the Championship Rounds. Yes, 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 this episode is a preview special for Creed 2, which drops, geez, already next week. Thanksgiving weekend. Just dropping on Wednesday. So, can't wait to see that. So, what we're going to do first, the format for today's show, we're going to talk about how everything as far as the Rocky franchise has led us to Creed 2. What I want to see from Creed 2. What I think will happen in the movie. What I want to see for the future of the franchise. But we're going to go over a simplified timeline for the Rocky franchise leading up to the movie that comes out next week. So we're going to talk about all that from the franchise going forward. It's shocking to me how many of y'all haven't seen Rocky movies. I ask a lot of people what their favorite Rocky movie is, and people tend to not give me a straight answer, or they like to say, oh, I like all of them. Well, you can't really like all of them, because there are some Rocky movies that are just really, really bad. But let's get started with the first Rocky. So how exactly did we get to this point? Rocky starts off pretty much as a journeyman heavyweight out of Philly who works as an enforcer for a loan shark. So in the first movie, you know, Rocky gets chosen by Apollo Creed and his team for a heavyweight title fight because Rocky's nickname was the Italian Stallion. They thought, whoa, Apollo Creed versus the Italian Stallion? This is going to be something. We're going to draw big numbers. So it was going to be a big moneymaker for Apollo Creed and his team. So fast forward to the end of the movie, Apollo Creed edges Rocky in the close fight, thus establishing the Rocky Balboa lore. In Rocky 2, which is my personal favorite, we see Rocky dealing with life after a boxing career. He's about to call it quits. He's about to settle down with his wife Adrian, his dog. He's starting to do commercials. He's absolutely he's got the one foot out the door as far as his boxing career is concerned and living an everyday life as Rocky Balboa. Apollo Creed is taunted by the general public, calling his win over Rocky in the previous film as a fluke. So Apollo is heated and angered at this point. Apollo challenges Rocky to a rematch to prove that his win versus Rocky was legitimate. In the end, Rocky wins by KO and becomes the heavyweight champion of the world. Now Rocky 3. So Rocky 3 is where it kind of gets a little campy for some. Apollo Creed is retired at this point. Rocky goes through his reign as champion, defeating opponents left and right, only to find out all his opponents were hand-picked by his trainer, Mickey. Clubber Lang, played by the infamous Mr. T, emerges as a new challenger to the throne and takes on Rocky, who's enjoying his newfound celebrity status. He's got the cars, he's got the house, he's got the commercials, he's got the photo shoots, he's got the press on him during training sessions, he's not focused. He's got exhibition matchups against Thunderlips, played by Hulk Hogan. So he's completely distracted. So Rocky refuses to take his training for his fight with Clubber Lang seriously at all, and suffers a defeat. And Mickey dies in the process. Apollo Creed takes Rocky under his ring, under his wing, to redevelop the Eye of the Tiger, which is the mentality that Apollo says Rocky lost, and trains him in L.A., subsequently beating Clubber Lang in a rematch at the end of the movie, reclaiming the heavyweight title. In Rocky IV, which is the film closely related to Creed II out of all the movies, Rocky challenges Ivan Drago from Russia, trying to avenge Apollo Creed's death in the ring, because in the middle of the movie, Apollo Creed dies, unfortunately. Rocky made a promise to Apollo that he wasn't going to throw in the towel against Ivan Drago, and Ivan Drago actually kills him in the ring. This leads to Rocky going over to Russia to fight Ivan Drago to avenge the loss of his dear, dear friend. And Rocky seeks revenge and succeeds. Fights Drago in Russia, wins. Rocky V, we're going to skip over. So Rocky V, completely irrelevant to any of the movies within the timeline. So I hope you guys don't mind, because Rocky V is, it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie at all, but compared to Rocky IV, which if we're to disregard Rocky V, Rocky IV for some reason is a favorite within most Rocky fans. I think it's because of the training montage and all that, and Ivan Drago was just so formidable. And the drama that was involved with Apollo Creed dying. But the reason why I didn't like Rocky IV is because it kind of continued the campy tone from Rocky III, and it didn't include the original Rocky scores that we heard prominently throughout the first Rocky, Rocky II, and Rocky III. We didn't hear the Going the Distance. We didn't hear the Gonna Fly Now, the infamous songs that we hear that are ingrained in pop culture. We didn't really hear any of that in Rocky IV, and that's kind of a big deal to me. Might not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. So we're skipping over Rocky V and going on to Rocky Balboa, which I personally like to call Rocky Six. So in Rocky Six, the plot of that is Mason the Lion Dixon, which is the antagonist in that movie, played by real-life boxer Antonio Tarver, gets enticed to fight Rocky this time because of a boxing simulation that pitted a prime Rocky and a prime Mason Dixon against one another. It turns out the simulation goes in favor of Rocky, which entices Mason Dixon to challenge Rocky to a real-life fight. Rocky having to do this without his wife Adrian because prior to the events of Rocky VI, Adrian unfortunately passes away. So he feels something inside of him that needs to come out. And for him to get it out of him, he just needs to fight. Mason Dixon at the end of the movie beats Rocky in a razor-close decision, kind of like the first movie, which accomplishes two things. So the ending of Rocky VI accomplished two things. Rocky needed to get that inner beast out, and he's now fulfilled. And Mason Dixon validates himself as a guy that's a tough fighter now, because in the plot of the movie, he didn't really face opposition that was quality. And the critics in the movie were like, hey, he's not really fighting anybody right now. He's going through all these guys. He has no real challengers. And I guess Rocky kind of fulfilled that purpose. You know, fast forward over to Creed now. The first Creed movie, Adonis Johnson, Apollo Creed's son, played by Michael B. Jordan himself, obviously, works an everyday job at a firm, but moonlights as a professional fighter, taking non-sanctioned pro fights in Mexico. So Adonis moves to Philly, recruits Rocky as his trainer, yada, 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 embarks on a journey to become a real-deal pro fighter. One major detail that I really didn't want to leave out is because in Creed, Rocky has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and becomes ill, which definitely set the tone for the rest of the series. In Creed, real-life boxers Andre Ward and Tony Bellew play the characters of Danny Wheeler and Ricky Conlan, who are scheduled to fight in the movie. In storyline, Danny Wheeler gets KO'd by Conlan in a press conference, which leads to Conlan fighting Adonis Creed in Manchester. And like the first Rocky, Adonis, who entered the fight as Adonis Creed, in the plot, it was a contract formality, loses in a close split decision, just like how Rocky lost to Apollo. You know, and the first Creed, I feel, was Michael B. Jordan's breakthrough role. You know, yeah, we saw him in Fruitvale Station, The Wire, Hardball, but those were just subtle introductions. But Creed, in my opinion, really put him in Hollywood's forefront with this starring role. And it kind of helped catapult his superstardom. So now we're at Creed 2. We've arrived at Creed 2. So the plot in Creed 2 is Adonis is seeking to avenge his father's death by fighting Drago's son. And Michael B. Jordan is returning as himself, obviously. Stallone's coming back. Dolph Lundgren's coming back to reprise his role as Ivan Drago. Tessa Thompson's reprising a role from the first Creed. Main difference is Ryan Coogler, who worked with Jordan in Fruitvale Station, Creed, and Black Panther. He's not going to be returning to the director's chair. Instead, we have Stephen Caple Jr. directing, with Coog returning as an executive producer. What exactly do I personally want to see from Creed 2? Not a lot, quite frankly. I am expecting a few surprises, though. Would definitely like to see Rocky's son come back, since Milo Ventimiglia has reached even more success with the NBC show This Is Us. Milo played Rocky's son in Rocky VI. Still hoping for a Carl Weathers cameo somehow, in some way, shape, or form. And I can dream, can't I? Maybe in some dream scene or something, or a flashback, or something like that. Kind of like a spiritual figure of guidance. I think the first movie shied away from Apollo too much. For new Rocky fans or Creed fans, I personally didn't think they stressed the importance of that character enough. With him dying in 4, with Creed 2, with direct ties to that movie, I hope we get that sense of importance. What else do I want to see? I want to see Andre Ward's character, Danny Wheeler. I feel like he didn't have a prominent role in Creed the first go around. So in Creed 2, I hope he stands out more. I don't think we got enough of him in the first one, so I could predict we see him in a more high-profile role. I also want to see more Wood Harris playing Duke's son. So Wood Harris we only saw in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and we didn't see him again. And that's pretty much it. So we're reuniting guys from The Wire on HBO with Wood Harris and Michael B. Jordan both in The Wire, reuniting in Creed. I hope we see Wood Harris more in Creed 2 and playing a prominent role that way. What role does Ivan Drago play in all this? Does he stay an antagonist? So I'm definitely curious to see the dynamic between Dolph Lundgren and, what's the boxer's name? Florian Montiano, who's playing Victor Drago. He's playing his son. Another possibility is a fate we don't want to see, and that's killing off Rocky after 8 films in the franchise, finally killing off the Rocky Balboa character. Does non-Hodgkin's lymphoma do it? Or do we still see Rocky for another couple of movies? I don't think Stallone is ready to part from that Rocky role just yet. If we're talking about the potential of a Creed trilogy and prolonging the Rocky franchise, I think he dies in the movie after this one. But that's it for Creed too. I mean, to just summarize everything, I want to see Rocky's son come back. I want to see Apollo Creed in some capacity. I want to see Andre Ward. Also, I think we see more adversity going against Adonis this time around in Creed 2. I think Stephen Caple did a great job of capturing the real-life grit of the sport of boxing, where some of the films in the Rocky franchise were more campy in tone. And I attribute that to the 80s. Creed 2 is a little bit more darker in that sense. But that does it. Creed 2 is out next week, November 21st. Go see it. Jamie and I are still planning whether or not to watch it on that day, but I for sure want to. This is to fulfill my need to prolong the Rocky franchise and for her to fulfill her crush on Michael B. Jordan. Looking forward to a great movie, though, with a rush of nostalgia flowing in as I watch. Let's announce this week's fight of the week. Let's go with a fight that inspired Sylvester Stallone to write Rocky. Chuck Wepner versus Muhammad Ali from March 24th, 1979, in a fight that you could easily search and find on YouTube. So in this fight, Wepner, who was the complete underdog versus Ali, and was primed to earn his biggest payday of his entire life. The fight surprised everyone, including Ali, because Wepner was able to score a knockdown against Ali in the 9th round. While Rocky went the distance against Apollo Creed, the real-life Rocky, being Chuck Wepner, didn't, and eventually succumbed to a 15th round knockout with about 19 seconds left. So once again, the fight of the week, Chuck Wepner versus Muhammad Ali from March 24th, 1975, that inspired Stallone to write Rocky in the first place. And that does it for episode 17 of the Championship Rounds. The next time around, we could go over some boxing. We could go over Canelo Alvarez fighting Rocky Fielding to close out 2018. And we could talk about quarter one of 2019 and the fights going on there. You could preview Errol Spence versus Mikey Garcia. You could preview Manny Pacquiao versus Adrian Broner. That's all taking place. We could break down, see who wins, what the matchups look like, and make some predictions off of that. And that does it. Just wanted to go and say a couple more things. If you like what you hear from the Championship Rounds and you want more content, be sure to subscribe to me on Apple Podcasts and give me a follow on Spotify. Hit that download button as well so you're not missing out on any episodes. One last time, I am plugging the Love Like This podcast between myself and my fiance Jamie, where we talk about love, life, parenting, being 20-somethings. You can follow us on Spotify as well, or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and hit the download button. But I appreciate you guys tuning in today. We'll see you guys next week with another edition of the Championship Rounds.